to say that taking care of increasing Medicaid payments in states is infrastructure. And I said last week that the president's not telling the truth, and he's not telling the truth about the infrastructure package. Lying is not popular. It's not infrastructure, George.
Do you really want to use the word lie there?
If Donald Trump, let's just be fair here. If Donald Trump had come out and called a dog a cat, which is what Joe Biden's doing, we would be outraged.
The Office of Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich is filing a lawsuit against White House and Department of Homeland Security officials over allegedly harmful immigration orders and is now asking a court to void President Joe Biden's executive actions to halt construction of the border wall and reversing the Trump administration's Remain in Mexico policy. Biden halting construction of the border wall on his first day in office. More news online at usaradio.com.
The Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover on WGSO will address matters of importance, elderly affairs, and anything that affects our quality of life. We'll show the fallibilities of protective services and the fallacies. Also, wherein the system is so corrupted, witnesses become victims. Where we go one, we go all. Listen up to The Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover. Mondays at 8 p.m., the dinner hour. Dinner jackets or straight jackets. God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
And the whole world smiles with you. And when you're laughing,
when you're laughing,
oh, you're laughing,
oh, you're laughing.
Mm, when the sun comes shining through,
shining through.
When you're crying,
when you're crying,
you bring on the rain,
bring on the
stop
rain.
Your sighing,
stop your sighing.
Won't you be happy again?
Happy again.
When you're smiling,
when you're smiling,
keep on smiling,
keep on smiling,
and the world will smile.
Anthony, you know I love those horns. Thank you, Anthony. Of course, you know you're listening to WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans. It's a community voice of the Crescent City. So here we down in the state of Louisiana, still fighting alligators, but we're going to make it work. So we're going to talk about a number of things today. Well, I might just mention and throw something out there. But one thing I want to bring up, and might as well do this first. 6 years ago, Louisiana became the first state in the Deep South to authorize a medical marijuana program. And you can read about that on NOLA.com, you know, if you subscribe. And I was going to get my friend Bunny Matthews in that program as a work study. You know, you had to have specific diseases. And LSU and Southern University was doing it. And the way they laid out the legislation for it, medical marijuana, was that they had to turn the plant into tinctures, you know, and the patient had to have specific diseases. Well, as House Bill 391 would allow the 9 pharmacies licensed by the state to dispense up to 2.5 ounces of flower per patient every 2 weeks, I think that's a pretty good deal. And, well, to some. And then House Bill 514, it applies sales tax to the smokable form, if they ever get to that. They're still trying to work it out. And selling the state-licensed pharmacies that dispense the smokable form of marijuana, then they're going to fund transportation projects. Well, that's good. But anyway, what's happened is now Mississippi and Arkansas have already authorized, you know, the medical marijuana program and the smokable marijuana, so Louisiana's lagging behind. I don't think our governor likes it. But anyway, maybe you ought to try it. It's not for everybody, I can tell you. So here we go, and I'm going to get pretty gnarly, so, you know, anyway. People are bringing up about this January 6th you know, when that was the date of the certification of the electoral votes, because each state has the popular vote, and then the number of those votes dictates who gets the electoral votes for that state. In case y'all didn't know, because I don't think it's, you know, I think that's been taken out of the schools. That's why everybody, when the local news was talking about the winner of the election and, you know, trying to cover the vote count irregularities. And I mean, look, people like, everyday people are supposed to be in government. It's not supposed to be like it is where we got these lunatics telling us what to do. I mean, come on. It's like even when my husband was a grain inspector and he started taking payoffs, he wasn't going to tell me what to do. I left. I don't like nobody fooling with any food. Like, say, when my friend's son said, "Why are you bringing my father's food? He's dying." I mean, really? That was August, but you know how it goes. But I did find something on the internet on lifenews.com has this thing about Terry Schiavo. And if you read that article, it's a lengthy article, but it's very interesting because it talks about anti-life bias. It talks about how the callous treatment of the medically vulnerable and protect, and it talks about needing protections for the medically vulnerable. And just like for the elderly and the disabled, like with my mother and that, you know, that's how the show started. You know, it's like my brother and his wife started being blackmailed over filing succession with substantial assets missing and concealing it from me and my sister. And when he started getting blackmailed over it and in an extortion scheme, you know, my mother and I had to be used as pawns, you know, to create an entirely different scenario than what was going on. It's lovely when you find out the people who have the weapon in your face have had a lifetime career of preying upon the elderly, and they are absolutely protected by an organized crime syndicate that preys upon the elderly. Because when we were in the hospital with injuries from acts of violence, we couldn't even get a police report down in St. Bernard Parish. So I know exactly how it goes. And so this article is very interesting. It talks about lethal prejudice, and it talks about the dark history of deadly discrimination of disabled and the elderly. And, you know, eugenics movement, you know, because people are killed because of their mental and physical disabilities. And even in this article, they talked about a bioethicist, Daniel Callahan. He brazenly went on record stating the denial of nutrition may become the only effective way to make certain that a large number of biologically tenacious patients actually die. And you see, even a thought of deliberately starving and dehydrating a brain-injured person to death by denial of food and water would be unconscionable and considered a criminal act prior to that. But in the 1980s, people started changing their mind about things. And at least with Terry Schiavo, her family was able to get feeding tubes to be reclassified from basic care to medical treatment. And if you remember that case, it's where her husband didn't want to be bothered with it anymore. And so he wanted the feeding tubes to be removed. So, all of the safeguards for the vulnerable continue to decline as we advance towards a eugenic worldview. Now, you know, same thing. You know, one thing that you should allow people to have is their last wishes. I mean, if you went, even if you're in prison on death row, they give you a last meal, you know. But with Bunny Matthews, he's got to eat cold grits and sausage, you know, like as if that's not enough nutrition for a Catholic archdiocese that was accepting patients. Well, Bunny Matthews, at the time that they were supposed to be posting on the front part of the building under court order in October 2020 about being facing bankruptcy, and yeah, they're in bankruptcy. So, you know, and then a son putting his father in a facility when he has a house and a car that's paid for, where he can live with dignity and at home with his friends around. I guess that comes under being, it's in too inconvenient for someone to live further. Mm-hmm. So when money and convenience, then they value that more than life. But read that on Life News. Go to the Terry Schiavo deal. Thank you. See you after this break. WGSO 990 AM.
Welcome back to the Louisiana Jones Gumbo Hour. I'm your host, founder, and owner of the TLGHL3C. I am very excited about having the opportunity once again to have a positive and thought-provoking dialogue with you as we inform and educate each other on various topics or gumbo ingredients from the business, academic, alumni, workforce, youth, and of course the sporting arena. I will be here every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. providing informative nuggets for you and yours. Please call in with your questions or add your bowl of gumbo at 504-556-9696 so that we can add to today's pot of gumbo.
American Ground Radio is headed to New Orleans, the Big Easy, the Crescent City, the birthplace of jazz, New Orleans, y'all. Every day, more and more Americans are listening on American Ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr on 990 AM WGSO and streaming live at WGSO.com. This should be fun.
America's schools are closing, which can be especially tough on students who struggle with poverty, hunger, and trauma. But communities in schools can help. Our organization puts caring adults inside schools to help vulnerable students stay in school. Now, in the face of crisis, we're working beyond school walls, delivering meals to students, helping them access remote learning, doing whatever it takes to help them succeed. To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
WGSO 990 AM has recently become recognized as an official 501c3 nonprofit organization capable of accepting tax-deductible donations. So, in commemoration of our 75th anniversary, the station is launching a 75 for 75 campaign with the goal of raising $75,000 in 2021. The funds that are raised will be dedicated to help the station fulfill our broadcast mission and satisfy any equipment needs that arise. These donations are especially important because, unlike most radio stations in New Orleans, WGSO is independent, locally owned and operated, and not part of a national broadcasting conglomerate. To donate, go to WGSO.com and click on the Donate button on the front page. Help us to continue to be the community voice of the Crescent City.
We understand during this time it is crucial that your customers feel safe coming to your business. Sir Speedy can help with signs and barriers to promote personal safety. From window and floor graphics to sneeze guards and branded face masks, we can help. Sir Speedy New Orleans, together we can do more. Find us on the web at SirSpeedyNewOrleans.com or call us at 504-586-9812.
We went a minute. Oh my God. I like that. WGSO. Right, 9:90 a.m. in New Orleans. The community voice of the Crescent City. We're going to have our friend Lieutenant Dan on. Lieutenant Dan, you rolling?
Hey,
up there
doing,
in New York?
Barbara?
Fine. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Very good. Look, they identified the man from the Capitol Police that allegedly killed that lady, Ashley Babbitt. David Bailey is his name. Did you find that out?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, it turns out he's Brazilian immigrant, and he is a Black Lives Matter activist, and he was on social media posting he wants to kill all Trump supporters. But yet we never heard about him getting arrested for that, you know. But guess what? He was the security guard for Steve Scalise on the day of the ballpark shooting. So isn't that wild? Something's fishy. Something's fishy there. Very fishy. So did you see the thing about one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter buying up all kind of expensive pieces of real estate?
I saw the headline from the New York Post yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring that story, and their headline read, Black Lives Manners. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, well, I think that, if she has access to the billions donated to Black Lives Matter, I think everyone who had their stores, their businesses, their homes, and their vehicles destroyed when she was calling, had a call to arms for mass destruction, then they ought to sue her personally and go after seizing Black Lives Matter and help the country find out Pelosi was dealing with Act Blue, processing all the Black Lives Matter donations while everybody in the country's waiting for assistance from the COVID scamdemic. I think America was punked with that. What do you think, Dan?
I would certainly think so. I mean, there should be justice served, on behalf of all of these small businesses and that were just devastated by all of these riots. And it's still going on. I mean, they're still doing it now.
Right. Yeah, and so they should think about doing that because they ought to check to see if any of their state reps or the reps in D.C. acquired any money through Act Blue during that time, because that's why they didn't stop it. And they should include their names for doing in the lawsuits. Class action, every state ought to do it. No matter what the governor, if the governor went along with it, then put his name in too. The citizens need to do something because we know the Biden's DOJ is not going to do anything. Here's Hunter's laptop being exposed, being considered legitimate, not some kind of disinformation, and then they going after a Trump supporter for something, going over state lines to have dinner with somebody. I don't know. I never did get that, but it's going nonstop. Maybe I'm getting old or something. I might have missed something. But I know that when they were holding off the name of the Capitol Police agent who shot Ashley Babbitt, or supposedly, said that the D.C. Council unanimously passed police reform law specifically requiring the city to swiftly make public the names of officers who use force on citizens, but they held his name back. So the citizen journalists are the ones that found that out, and they say that it's the victims are indiscriminate and barbaric police killing and violence when it's Republicans. But I still don't like that about Steve Scalise, because the guy should have been on administrative leave. And in fact, do you remember that guy that they caught, Imran Awan, and that whole string of people from Pakistan that they caught downloading classified information on their personal computer, and they tried to keep it quiet from us, and then it was how it became bigger than was pretty big. I mean, how it became bigger at the time was the fact that, what's her name? They call her Little Nancy Pelosi. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was allowing him to have access to Nancy Pelosi's personal devices and passcodes to get on the network after the Capitol Police denied them access when they caught what they were doing. Remember, they kind of caught him trying to leave the country with about $300,000 that he defrauded the Congressional Bank out of.
Yeah, I recall hearing that, yeah.
Right, so they kind of swept that. The rug's getting a little lumpy, don't you think?
I don't know how much more they can put under there, actually.
Right, jeez. You know, it's wild. So, you see, with this January 6th thing, they keep gaslighting. We got to remind everybody what gaslighting is, because it's when you accuse somebody else of doing exactly what you're doing. And so they keep blaming, keep pushing to say the Trump supporters wanted to overthrow the U.S. government. You know, that's really crazy, because that's what Pelosi did by certifying a rigged election, by excluding states that had informed the office of House Speaker that they were reclaiming their votes, electoral votes for Trump. And did you see where the in Arizona they've detected over 100,000 votes that are fake. And so in Georgia doesn't have yet, can the Secretary of State in Georgia has yet to be able to produce the chain of custody documents for over 430,000 ballot votes. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if I had a son and he wanted to get into politics, he wouldn't be able to, even though he might be the right age and all, you know, because these old fogies won't step down and go home and kick back on the money that they stole by having insider trading information, to put it bluntly. So, what do you have to say, Mr. Dan?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, there's definitely, even with that, there's definitely a case to be made for term limits.
Right.
And that's something they've been talking about for years, but of course never want to do.
Well, they got to do the cognitive thing. Remember the show that where the nurse sent us something? You know? And, anyway, we got to take another break, but we'll be back in a little bit. It's going up on 8:30 in case you need to catch a streetcar. You're listening to WGSO 990 AM. It's Barbara Hoover with the Beat Exchange, sitting here with Lieutenant Dan.
Guarda che luna, guarda che mare, che luna.
The Edwards Mortgage Group, the Maison Collective, NOLA Title Group, and ARC Insurance Consultants are the ones to call on for all of your home needs. Whether it's mortgages, closing, sales, or insurance, they take care of your home needs, and now they've come together to help take care of the needs of our beloved New Orleans music community by partnering with Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a free webcast live from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge, that features New Orleans musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans that have been impacted by COVID-19. You can join in the funky fun time by simply going to www.funkyuncle.live every Friday night at 7 p.m. Coming to the Funky Uncle Lounge April 16th, it's E.T. and the Jackson Square All-Stars. For more information on how you can support Fridays from the Funky Uncle, go to funkyuncle.live.
Over the last 75 years, New Orleans has gone through many changes, and so has WGSO. From our early beginnings in 1946, broadcasting from the Jung Hotel,
being home to Papa Stoppa in the 1950s, being a music station, talking biz radio to speakin' easy New Orleans style. You, our loyal listeners, have been here every step of the way with WGSO. It's now our 75th anniversary, and we are so proud to have you here with us to celebrate. So we're going to celebrate all year long to show our gratitude to you and make 2021 our most successful year yet. And we will also continue to bring programs that appeal to people of all backgrounds. So from all of us at WGSO, we want to say thank you for making us the community voice of the Crescent City.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Taylor Sharp. Among some 900 bills and resolutions filed for the legislative session that begins today, there are several measures dealing with the legalization of sports betting. Metairie Senator Cameron Henry says a big question is whether lawmakers will agree to allow residents in approved parishes to place bets on their phone.
100% mobile, meaning you can do it from your kitchen table. Or is it going to be in a more affiliated approach, meaning you have to be in a bar or a restaurant to be able to bet online?
Sports betting was approved last fall in 55 parishes. Louisiana could be in line for billions of dollars in federal infrastructure aid under President Biden's over $2 trillion American Jobs Plan. The bill also contains hundreds of billions in funding for expanded child care, elderly caregiving, and housing. State Transportation Secretary Sean Wilson says those investments are needed to power a modern economy.
Infrastructure can be hard infrastructure or soft infrastructure. These are all things that are necessary to keep the economy moving.
LouisianaRadioNetwork.com.
When choosing a metal roof for your home, some important things to consider are curb appeal, weather resistance, and of course, durability. At Mueller, we've got you covered with all that plus more. We offer many styles, including our new line of standing seam metal roofing panels. These sleek panels offer unsurpassed structural performance, making them a great solution for both commercial buildings and residential homes. Rest assured that when you have a Mueller metal roof overhead, you'll receive protection from the elements, along with beautiful paint coatings that will remain fresh and vibrant for decades. You'll also get peace of mind that your roof is designed and manufactured in-house, as well as warranted by us, your Mueller team. Visit MuellerInc.com to find a location near you and view our extensive roofing photo gallery and color selector tool to find the perfect Mueller roof for your home.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
This is Roland here for TikTok Cafe. TikTok Cafe is located on I-10 Service Road and Causeway. Open 24 hours a day. The place to go when most other places are closed. There is poetry on the wall. God is in the workplace. And everyone treated as family. That's my favorite stop for breakfast and lunch. See you at TikTok Cafe.
WGSO will be holding an online auction to benefit our 75 for 75 campaign beginning on April 15th and running through May 2nd. There will be tons of great items to bid on, including Saints and LSU memorabilia, trips, and much more. The auction will culminate with a two-day radio-a-thon during the weekend of May 1st and 2nd. For more information on the auction and how you can get involved, go to WGSO.com.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah. Join me each weekday morning at 5:30 or 6:30 for Turning Point here on Talk Radio 990 AM.
Hi, I'm William Wallace. You can hear me live on Tuesday nights at 5 o'clock here on WGSO or see what I have to say on Facebook at William Wallace for America.
Maybe your portfolio should resemble your dinner, slowly cultivated, locally produced, and sustainable.
Join us at 5 p.m. Mondays for the Slow Money Show, WGSO 990.
I eat Aunt the pasta twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina. Carolina, waitress at the pizzeria. I keep souping
Minnesota. Here we back up with Lieutenant Dan from New York State. And you're listening to WGSO 990 AM. It's the Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover. How you doing? Did you find out anything on our break, Lieutenant Dan?
Well, I'm not going to be one to say New York is cornering the market on crazy, but it's definitely a contender. So there's been so much strange stuff going on here in this state. It's unbelievable. One of the newest things that just came up is the New York State budget.
Right.
Well, seeing how at the end of 2019, New York State was already $6 billion in the hole, and then everybody knows what, you know, the effects of the pandemic in 2020, that whole year, and that whole debacle, what that did. But now with the with Biden's $1.9 trillion spending plan, back in March, there seems to be like $350 billion that have been released to bail out blue states that were irresponsible in the first place. Well, New York is definitely one of them, and it doesn't sound like it's really changed its tune much, because now what it wants to do for the illegal aliens that were in New York State last year that couldn't work because construction jobs were shut down or service sector jobs were shut down, you like to hit them all over $15,000 a piece. $15,600 a piece for that, to compensate them for being here illegally and not being able to work.
I know, it's wild. Like in St. Bernard Parish, that's the way I live in Araby. And I'm staying there because I'm demanding honest services. So the parish wants to raise homeowners' property tax, while a thriving port is tax exempt and pays nothing or little thereof. But part of the tax increase will also go to the fire department, which a small parish has 144 firemen and 11 stations. And the fire department drives up and down the highways and streets, wasting gas, even taking the big truck to lunch when they have stations filled with food. And they're taking the food home. Parishioners are asking me, parish residents are asking me, because they had the word saint, so I went berserk. So parish residents asked me if I could bring it up on air, because they questioned what are they doing with the food that is at the station. So they said that they feel like sometimes that they surveilling people who go against Agenda 21. And so they say, can you bring up Agenda 21 on the air? Well, of course we can. And people should see that. They kind of changed the time element to where it's going to be 2030, but we going through it now. But the question within the entire parish is, where is all the FEMA money that was given to upgrade all this equipment and infrastructure? You know, they had the parish president in St. Bernard talking about the drainage and stuff like that. And so, you know, that just alarms everybody. It's just like in New Orleans, like the sewage and water board. I mean, the mayor wants to take over municipal auditorium for that to become City Hall. No. When they really should be taking the money and fixing the streets and redoing sewage and water board. You know, I mean, it's like crazy. Like, your pumping stations don't work, and, you know, it's like hurricane season and all of that. I mean, everybody's like, Jesus, they can't even save their cars. Well, at least now we found out that the FEMA money disappeared in New Orleans, too. Then they never fixed the pumping stations, the turbines, and it was flooding New Orleans repeatedly. And it made national news when Mitch Landrieu was in Colorado pitching himself for president because he tore down all the statues in the city of New Orleans. And then he's saying, oh, it might have been a mistake to tear down P.T. Beauregard's statue. Really? P.T.G. Beauregard. Yeah, Creole for bravery. Is there any statues that they pulled down in your area, Lieutenant Dan?
Actually, there was one in Rochester, down just east of me here.
Mm-hmm.
And they defaced a statue of Frederick Douglass.
Oh, great! They renamed the school. Yeah, because they don't know the history. They've taken it all out. Oh, and I've been watching a lot of videos about the education system, and first they're talking about how parents are too. Well, there's no PTA meetings anymore. Parent-teacher association, they cut that out a long time ago, like in the 60s maybe. So, you know, to keep parents from having a voice. But anyone who's pushing this Marxist ideology upon children when they should be developing their minds to force simpler skills other than these Thornburg things, then you should have the right to demand that teacher be terminated. Because indoctrination is something completely different from education.
Exactly.
And indoctrination, you're not giving a kid a choice to be a free thinker. Education, you are. And so it can't be one-sided. But you know what? What about that... that attorney in Michigan, his elections forensic report came up with 66,000 unregistered ballots, which they mean voters, tallied in just 9 counties, and that's in Michigan. So it's like fake ballots, basically, is what they're saying. You know, fake, you know, people who aren't registered to vote, 66,000. And then they're forgetting about the whistleblowers that came forward saying that they had trucked over 250,000 ballots over state lines. You know, and there's a thing that I'll talk about next week. I have something to say about Sergeant Holloway and what's coming up now. And I'm going to be dealing with how we need to stand up not only to help change things in the community. You know, you have good ideas or you have a bad situation that needs to be changed, you know, so that there's due process. And so everybody should do something like that in their community. They see what is needing to be done. You know, it's just when sometimes people tell me, oh, we'll never get through this, it won't happen. Well, we got to make it happen because it's supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. You know, it's like I don't want to turn on my television and some lunatic is telling me what to do. But I do want to say one thing. If somebody wants to take the vaccine, you can go to the Christian Unity Church. It starts at 9:00 on Saturdays. So I'm not taking a vaccine. I'm not interested in a vaccine passport. But I would like to know where the woman made an ID in my name, and she didn't get prosecuted, even though we knew she was going into banks, you know, misrepresenting herself, and Melanie Gautreau was covering for her. Because I would like to get some vaccine passports made if we're going to go far out. You know, so maybe they can share that.
Well, I've got something to say about the vaccine passport.
Okay,
that's going on in New York. But as it turns out, I guess New York was the first one that actually came up with it. They call it the Empire or the Excelsior Pass. Excuse me.
Oh, right.
And they wanted to use that so people could, you know, re-enter society. It turns out, I just read actually today that they found out that a nonprofit group, they wanted to see if they could just fake it. And they did. It took them all of 11 minutes to do.
Really?
And all they had to do was just get somebody's credentials, what they had to have, which basically I think all they had to have was their, I think their zip code, and I mean just basic information. And a lot of people were doing selfie photos where they're holding up their vaccination card that they got. Well, you can get all the information off that too. And it took them all about 11 minutes just to, to pull that one off. So it just shows, I mean, how fraudulent this whole thing is. They've been using it now here in New York, like just for admission, like to New York Rangers hockey games and a couple other things. They wanted to expand it into smaller venues. Actually, I think like the Target date was today. Actually,
yeah. We got to cut for a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. And you're listening WGSO 990 AM. It's Barbara Hu with the Beat Exchange and Lieutenant Dan.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Hi, I'm Pete Cannizzaro with Cannizzaro Realty Appraisals and Sales. We provide appraisals for multiple reasons, such as mortgages, refinancing, estate successions, property settlement, and more. We have local knowledge and experience, so bring in the experts at Cannizzaro Realty and make sure your property is being evaluated correctly. Cannizzaro Realty Appraisals and Sales, now with 3 locations, Uptown, Downtown, and Metairie. Call 504-831-0507 or visit CannizzaroRealty.com for appraisals and sales.
Tom Fitzmaurice here with the Edible Dictionary Word of the Day, brought to you by Dornex, just voted one of the Food and Wine Magazine's top 20 regional supermarkets of all time. Today's Edible Dictionary Word is
burgoo. A burgoo is a potluck stew traditionally made with whatever meats and vegetables are at hand. It has a long history in the southeastern United States, particularly in Kentucky. Like barbecue, chili, and gumbo, the makers of burgoo can go on endlessly on how it should be made. For every person who says that squirrel meat, to pick an example, must be part of the recipe, another will decree that squirrel meat must never be used. Each will say the other doesn't know what an authentic burgoo really is. A common thread is that several different meats go into the pot and that it simmers for a long time. Burgoo is not far removed from the hobo's mulligan stew. It's probably better read about than eaten.
The Food Show, right here.
WGSO, from the Puka Ray
to Fun Shell Square,
things have changed. WGSO. Do you know what it means to love New Orleans?
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Tim McNally, host of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM.
Every weekday
from 4 until 5
on WGSO 990 AM. This is where we started. This is our home. We're going to bring you news of the wine world, interviews with winemakers. We're going to talk to people who know something about wine. We hope you'll join us.
The Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM.
Every weekday
from 4 until 5
from the heart of the Crescent City.
Yeah, so we back on, and the background is John Campbell. But I wanted to say the first Tuesday of every month is Seniors Day at Walgreens. So that's when you go in and get that good chocolate. Anyway, you know, I'm a chocoholic, but that's better than anything else. But, Lieutenant Dan, excuse me. So we're going to be sliding out of here in about 10 minutes. And so I wanted to see if you had anything to say to our listening audience before we close down the Beat Exchange.
Well, it seems like I've had a lot to say about New York, and then it seems like there's never a shortage of things to say about New York.
Right. It's wild.
It really is. I mean, a lot of things have come to light recently that events that happened last year since this whole COVID thing started. As it turns out, when this whole thing began about a year ago, there were, if you recall, there were very few tests available as far as like being able to be screened for to see if you were, had the disease or not.
Right.
But it turns out, I guess, Andrew Cuomo made sure he had his.
Oh, yeah.
And he made sure his family had his.
His family. That's right.
So, there was hardly any available in the state, but, his brother on CNN, he got one. Well, as you recall, he was the one that was doing the phony broadcast from the basement and all that. And then he was seen out at the building site for his home in the Hamptons.
Mm-hmm.
So, that happened. And after the media, he was doing his daily briefings, and the media kind of idolized
right.
him. Put him up as the anti-Trump, I guess, as far as the handling of the pandemic goes. Well, he was fudging all the numbers of all the real deaths that happened in the nursing homes. He had, people working on a book for him that would basically, tie himself into a pretzel, patting himself on the back, what a great job he did. But he might have a little bit of an ethics problem, too, because he broke the law with that when he had his top staffers that were working on editing the book and getting on video conferences with publishers. And, of course, he stood to make $4 million on that deal.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
So... It never ends in this state. It really doesn't. I'm sure Louisiana, it can't be much different.
Oh, it's beyond here. They pay people off with racehorses. Maybe next week I'll tell a story when he stole some sperm. But you know how that goes. Can you imagine? But anyway, it was a legitimate thing, this veterinarian that was taking care of had just gotten the contract to handle, be the vet for the racetrack, and then he started stealing sperm. But I'm going to identify him next week. But I do want to say this much. When you have a police officer on the force that refuses to write police reports about white-collar crimes or acts of violence, death threats, then you need to check into what they are playing along with, not to want to have a police report like that. Because I had a police officer like that, Sergeant Jackson from the 5th District in New Orleans, and I said, what else are y'all not taking police reports on? Y'all don't like to write police reports? That's a common thing. Oh, I'm going to write a report. Well, he runs off in the back. He comes back, and he only wants a statement. He don't want a police report. I said, no, I want a police report, not a statement. Oh, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Because if it was the same thing, people would be arrested right now and prosecuted. So they must have thrown that in the garbage can. But a couple weeks later is when a police officer from the 5th, Wardell Johnson from the 5th District, he didn't check someone that he was bringing in, called for transport. Sergeant Holloway was the officer that came to pick him up. And Sergeant Holloway allegedly was shot by this person that was not frisked, said that they had a weapon on him, and he broke out of the police car after shooting Sergeant Holloway. Well, There's another question. What was Sergeant Holloway working on before he was murdered? Because that's a murder. Now, why is Wardell Johnson fired? Not fired. Why wasn't he fired and prosecuted? Because he was suspended 6 times, lazy and incompetent. Because he didn't write police reports. He would have wrong numbers for witnesses. And I could tell you that's a thing that corrupt police officers do, like St. Bernard, even the Detective Bureau in St. Bernard. They switch around the numbers so nobody can be contacted. And, oh, we dropped the charge because no one could be contacted. No, you're an organized crime syndicate with badges on your chest. You're thugs wearing badges and guns. That's the deal. You knew exactly who you were grabbing by my house that tried to break into my house and rape me. That was the plan to keep me quiet. He had domestic violence charges, domestic abuse, sexual battery, and assaulting people at reporting to the police. He had forced my mother to the bank against her will with a weapon. They knew these were bank thieves, but somehow or another they got Jude Matthews playing around in the nursing facility to discredit me, to keep from getting his father released and starting up the whole thing all over again. Look what she did to her mother. Well, you know, if you had dog-hearted medical kidnapping because you don't want to give an accounting, you're just like my brother, Russell Hoover. I should have recognized it as soon as I saw Judas jumping around like he was a Mexican jumping bean. He was just furious that I was willing to help his father and other people that live in other states, that have business here, that could come and spend time with him. He was bright, he could talk, but yet everybody's under the impression, like, because Jude and the vicious people around him, including the Musicians Foundation, that never went and talked to Bunny Matthews himself. Never. Because you see, doctors get kickbacks. And the Catholic Archdiocese needs to support itself because they have all these sexual abuse cases. So, next week I'll be talking about Torah Clark and how people get to be police chief in this city. See you same time next week. It's Barbara Hoover in the Beat Exchange. And say goodbye, Lieutenant Dan.
Good night, New Orleans.
Good night, New Orleans. Bye.